Welcome to Best Practices, a brand new podcast brought to you by Anagram and Envision Mag. I'm super excited to have our first episode feature Bill Gerber, one of my favorite people in eye care, an incredibly insightful conversation around best practices for multiple pair sales and what it can mean for your business, not just from a revenue standpoint, but also from a patient care standpoint. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks so much. All right. Welcome to Best Practices. I'm joined by one of my favorite people in eye care, Bill Gerber. He is the founder and president. And what other fun title do you have over at OMG Marketing?
Visionary.
The visionary.
Yes.
Perfect.
That's correct.
Welcome, Bill. Great to have you.
Thank you so much. Pleasure, Steve. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Tell me a little bit about you and your history in eye care. Before we jumped on, I was stalking your LinkedIn profile, and I would love to hear a little bit about your history in eye care.
Absolutely. I got into eye care at the ripe old age of 22. I grew up in a place called Del Mar, California, which is actually 1 mile from where I am right now in Solana Beach, California. I never strayed too far from the coast. So anyhow, I grew up in Del Mar, and I had a friend who was in the eyeglass business. Her dad owned a high-end eyeglass company, the distribution for NeoStyle, NeoStyle's iconic brand. And 22, he offered me a job repping NeoStyle glasses in San Diego, much to my parents' dismay. And to my chagrin, I took the job and fell in love with the industry. It was fantastic.
I have a similar story. I started in eye care when I was 16, fell into the position and similarly fell in love with the industry. What component of it keeps you coming back?
The people, the connections, the passion, and I think all built on the foundation that this helps people see. And what is more important than that? So I think it's really important work. And I think it's very collegiate. When I sold my first company, Delectable Display, I checked out some other industries, right? Let's see what's out there. And granted, there's all sorts of wonderful industries, but optics is my home. This is the field I have great passion for. And I love the network of people in it and all of the ideas. I feel like right now is one of the best times to be in eye care, in any aspect of eye care. So I'm really excited about the present and the future.
I completely agree with you. And I'm curious why you think now is the best time to be in eye care.
A lot of reasons. Number one, I think technology is our friend. I think what's happening with AI to help diagnose, to help treat, to help market, to help follow up, and to really help people stay engaged with eye care is an unprecedented opportunity. I feel that is one of the aspects. I feel the other aspect really is the demographics of what's happening. So with the emerging of the population as it is, and also the huge deficit in ophthalmologists right now, I think that just opens up a world of opportunity for optometry in particular and opticianry. So I think now, despite all of the doom and gloom that people paint from time to time, I think the market is poised for tremendous growth. I do feel that the vast majority of Americans in particular are radically underserved in their products that they end up buying. With 90% of the populace having one pair of glasses, I think there's just huge opportunity to perhaps get out of our way a little bit and help people to just make the decisions to purchase what they need to have a fabulous life.
I think that's fantastic. What I respect about that approach is the holistic nature of the view, right? If you focus on just the negatives, that's where your mindset's going to be. But if you take a step back and are able to see the opportunity that exists because of what you laid out, you end up having a much more positive view on the possibilities of the future. I think that's perfect. What a great way to segue into what we're going to talk about. Because this show is best practices, the idea is to deliver best practices on topics where my expert guests can demonstrate their expertise. Now, you've been in the industry for a long time. You're a tremendous source of knowledge across many different facets of the industry. But I'd like to hone in on one thing at first. You highlighted that Americans are underserved by having the ones that do have a pair of glasses by having just one pair of glasses. So I'd love to get your insights onto best practices for maximizing or optimizing the number of pairs of glasses or number of eyewear solutions that a patient should have. What are best practices for that?
Yeah, thanks for queuing that up. I feel that with the plethora, I love that word actually, plethora, but the plethora of solutions are available to people, not only in eyewear, prescription eyewear and plano eyewear, but also treatments and IPLs and dry eye and myopia management, and also adding in aesthetics. I feel that the opportunity for people to really lead a much better life as a result of having these treatments and products is fantastic. I'm obviously in the industry, but I can't imagine my life without four or five pairs of core glasses, right? I just came in from outside and my Shamir lenses with transitions just deactivated quickly and polarized. I was on the beach earlier today just wearing polarized eyewear. It's just a dream come true. I actually saw a dolphin through my polarized. I'm like, I can see that dolphin because I have polarized lenses on. And I think this merging right now of aesthetics and optometry and eye care is just a fantastic thing. I was just recently at a conference, and at that conference, I ran into so many people who told me how IPL in particular just opened up their eyes to what people will spend, right, for an outcome. They said they would really have a hard time getting over a $400 or $500 sale amount for almost anything with a lot of different patients. And then all of a sudden IPL comes along and boom, it's a $2,000-$3,000 treatment modality. People are saying, oh, help my eyes, help my skin. I'm going to look amazing. So why not? So I think this consumption aspect, and I'm going to be so bold as to say that I believe that in eye care right now, for every dollar that we are getting, we're leaving one on the table.
I think absolutely. Your focus so far has been on the way to leverage your opportunities as an eye care practice or a practitioner to improve the lives of your patients or customers. Mm-hmm. That there is certainly a financial aspect to it. But being that I've been an optician since I was 16, worked with tons of people for decades who will often hesitate to offer something if it's expensive. If it's something that they wouldn't necessarily spend money on, then they don't present it to their patient or their customer as a thing that they might spend their money on. And I think there's a misunderstanding of the value of something like that. And the way you laid it out with IPL in particular, I think is extremely telling of that. There's a huge opportunity to improve somebody's life in your practice today, as long as you understand the actual value of what you're offering.
Yeah, without question. Last year, I did about 57 continuing education seminars all across the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. We've got a bunch of international ones coming up coming year, so that's exciting. But something that I move towards is a very interactive type of presentation, so rather than just being an info dump, it's really seeking feedback. And I went from groups of 10 or 15 to 750, 850 people, and was able to accumulate a lot of data through live interactive polling using Mentimeter. In any case, one of the key questions I ask every audience is, I identify as a salesperson, yes or no, right? And what do you imagine the outcome is?
80%, 90% no.
Absolutely. It's about 96% no, right? Next question is, I identify as a medical professional providing vision solutions to my patients, 100% yes. I spent a lot of time earlier on in my career working on sales training. When I worked for NeoStyle, that was a key facet of our growth strategy, and it worked. And the idea was really help opticians at the time get confident and boost their skills around selling. But what I realized about maybe 15 years into it is that it's not that easy. And if you don't identify as a seller, you have to work a different angle. And that angle is, how do I help humans? Because I think the profession is inherently good and caring and I don't know if everybody took the Hippocratic Oath. I don't think so. but I do feel that vibe exists in our business. And it's a fabulous thing, because this desire to be of service and to help and to care is wonderful. And I think it's a much greater force than just wanting to bring in revenue.
Absolutely right. And I think that is, so I lecture fairly frequently providing CE, and one of the things that I'm very careful about in my presentations is not to position patients or customers as strictly a revenue stream. Yeah. I understand the sensitivity in the industry. However, I also make it a point to highlight the fact that if your practice or your business is not profitable, you will not be able to care for any patients eventually. So profitability is really important for us to be able to provide the care that many of us in the industry want to. So if you're profitable, you can then reinvest and provide better services. If you're not, you can't, right? And you'll fall behind. Let's focus back in on best practices for identifying all of the lifestyle needs of your patients. Where does that start?
All right, let's go back to the live polling. So I've got some data to work with today. In every one of my seminars, we ask the question, I am using a detailed lifestyle questionnaire with every patient, right? Survey says 96% say no, we are not doing it. All right, we do it verbally. We talk to our people, we get their lifestyle. All right, so here's the benefit of a written lifestyle questionnaire. And if you don't like that term, call it something else, all about me, all about my eyes, what have you. So the benefit of that is that when somebody takes the time to fill something out, be it digitally or in writing, it is the truth, right? That's what they have said. And so when you're working with them and you're referencing back what they said in writing, it's very plausible, and it's not something that you're going to doubt, right? You said that you were interested in updating your look, and you were interested in new thin lenses, and you're interested in some sort of transition type lens. Great. Okay. So if that's what you're interested in, then here are the solutions based on this. I think the other part of that too is when somebody talks in more detail about their lifestyle, right, and what they do, you're really going to find out that the individual is way more multifaceted than we thought. So I think our opportunity is to go three-dimensional, four-dimensional in finding out about that individual and then serving up solutions that fit that person. And the truth is, anybody could put in a telephone number or an email and you would get very detailed data about that individual, right? We're working on a couple of things that will unleash that. But for now, just this best practice of having a detailed lifestyle questionnaire that the patient fills out and that the tech references, the OD references, the optician references, and then the patient ultimately ends up with a written optical treatment plan. So those two things as a best practice, I have seen literally in hundreds of practices, we've helped implement that workflow. I have just seen things like multiple rates going from 8 to 38% almost overnight, right? Capture rates going from 47%, which is the independent national average, from what I last heard from the Vision Council, to 64%, 72%. So I think this diving deeper into that individual that we're dealing with will reveal just a lot of treasure, right, that can be fed back and that can provide solutions.
Fantastic. I want to hone in on a couple of the data points that you just shared. So practices that you've worked with have gone from an 8% multiple rate to as high as a 38% multiple rate after incorporating some of what you just described, the lifestyle questionnaire, the patient profile, whatever you want to call it. Financially, what does it mean for your business when you go from an 8% capture rate to a 38% capture rate?
That's multiples, but so
you're right. Yeah. No, when you go from 8% multiples to 38% multiples.
It depends on the percentage of managed vision care that practice is doing. We all know that the first pair for most ECPs is not all that profitable, right? Discounts are applied. You have to use certain lenses and things like that. Profitability on pair one is, it's okay. You're going to make some money, but profitability on pair two that's where you really get into free cash flow. You can take a multiple pair percentage and double it, and you can see sometimes not a 50% increase in profits on that portion of the eyewear business, but you can see a 60, 70% because of all the cash flow that's coming off of that second or third or fifth pair, or that contact lens sale with a sunglass sale added on, or any combination of treatments as well.
Perfect. Now, what does it do for your relationship with that patient on an ongoing basis to have multiple pairs, to have contacts and sunglasses?
I like to make the hairdresser analogy. Most people, and this is one of my other survey questions out there, is how loyal are you to your hairdresser? And it's really interesting because between men and women, everyone's loyal, right? You find somebody good that you like, you are absolutely loyal to them. And there's a lot of reasons, right? Oh, they give me a good haircut, I get compliments, they're reliable, they're all that. But really, the two things that don't come up that much in loyalty to a hairdresser is price, right? Number one, price and distance traveled. So I think the same analogy is true when it comes to opticals. Once you find somebody who can style you, who can take care of problems, who can troubleshoot, who can look at you and say, oh gosh, I have a frame, you're going to look amazing. I think you develop a trust. And what you do, I think, is you shut down the competition, because in all of our lives, right, we have complex, busy lives, some more than others. You want to check off when you've got, I got a guy for that, right? Or I got to go
right
out for that. So that's, I think our huge opportunity is just to say, you know what? Life is complicated. I'm your eye care provider. I'm your eye care professional. We've got you covered, right? You don't need to go anywhere else. So I think this new sense of boldness around, look, if you got your exam here, you should definitely buy your goods here, is I'm seeing that emerge as a best practice. So rather than hang back and be bummed out when somebody leaves, because I don't know about you, but if I was an OD or practice, I did 20 exams today and 6 or 7 people stayed and bought from me out of 20 qualified, perhaps, I might be a little taken aback. So I feel like if people can really get this idea that, hey, this is the place I go for all my eye care needs, then great.
Right. I think that's really important. When I was practicing as an optician, one of the best compliments I could receive was when a patient came in and I was busy. We had an available optician, but they said, no, I'll wait for Steve. That was, to me, an indication that I've done right by them. They trust me. They want my opinion or my help or what have you. And I think that is true, especially for those patients who do invest more in that relationship. When I got to know them and they got to know me, they wanted to work with me. And that's how it works across the US with opticianry in general. The other thing that I wanted to call out is when a patient goes from having one pair of glasses to two pairs of glasses, they never go back to having one pair of glasses.
Right. Yeah.
Right. When a patient goes from having two pairs of glasses to three, they never go back to just having two pairs of glasses. If the multiple pairs that they have or the multiple solutions that they have each serve a legitimate function in their lives, they recognize the benefit it provides them and they could not go back to not having that. You never see somebody who gets prescription sunglasses and then says, oh, that didn't work for me. Never.
Absolutely.
So think about for your practices, think about what happens today has an impact on what happens in every subsequent visit.
No question. When I got my start selling high-end eyewear from Germany, it was really interesting the loyalty that would develop with this particular brand, right? People would buy this cool pair of glasses. And my boss, my first boss, his name was Helmut Eigel, rest his soul, he's an amazing guy. He'd always say that people forget about the price with the first compliment they receive. So it was just a spectacular statement to me. And I believe it.
That's absolutely
idea of referral. Somebody sees something unique, like this morning before I locked myself out of my office, which you're not going to get into in detail. I came through my local Pete's coffee shop and I'm standing in line waiting for my coffee. And this lady says, oh my God, I love your glasses. Where'd you get them? And I said, they're made in Chicago by State Optical Company. So it was, that's the thing. So you get that buzz out there, you get that referral going, and people invariably will be referred back. So it's really, I think, more of a attraction rather than promotion model.
Right. Right. I think that makes perfect sense. So if you were to give advice to opticians or optical managers or that OD who isn't converting, what thing can they change today that would have the biggest impact on that?
I think the main thing is to really work on the culture of multiple solutions, first and foremost. When we work on the culture and everybody in a practice believes in the value of multiple solutions, then we thrive and we grow. But if there's one weak link on the team, if someone says, you know what, they don't need that, right? People don't really need all these different things. You're just trying to take their money. That's not what I see in the literally the best practices in the country. I see practices that have this mentality that, yes, we are so honored and delighted. And it's really almost like ringing a bell when somebody does get an eyewear wardrobe or they do invest in multiple solutions. And it becomes the norm and it's just expected, as opposed to, oh my God, I can't believe that person bought a second pair. So right. I think that would be my advice, is really work on the culture, work on believability, and track how many optical treatment plans actually were fulfilled. Because look, the way people buy today is way different than the way people bought 5 years ago or 10 years ago. When I can just go to this and I have saved for later, and I've got all sorts of things I've been measured up for. In fact, I will tell you, a couple weekends ago, I saw a car driving down the road and it had the best car wrap I could ever imagine. It was this purple color. It was amazing. My favorite color is purple. I'm like, oh, that's
mine too.
Right? Yours? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What regal, dark, light?
Yeah.
What?
Like a dark royal purple.
Really? That's okay. That's what I knew. You're royalty. So anyhow, I see this wrap and it was just amazing. I'm like, that'd be cool. I got a car. I can maybe wrap it. And okay, it's almost $3,000 to wrap a car, right?
Yeah.
So I go online, car wrap near me, blah, blah, blah. There's a little configurator on one of the websites I go to, blah, blah, blah. It gives me a whole quote, puts it in my cart. It's gives me the opportunity to schedule an appointment. And did I buy it right on the spot? Have I bought it yet? No. Might you see me one day driving down the road in a purple Alfa Romeo? Perhaps. But the point is, they're making it so easy for me to spend my $3,000 if I choose to do that. So I think the big opportunity we have in eye care is to really enable ongoing purchasing, as opposed to everything's got to happen in that half an hour or hour, 2 hours that you're there. It's a year every 2 years.
Right. I think that's such an important point. That's also often missed. To your point about the multiple culture, yeah. Lots of those employees that say, like, I don't really want to squeeze money out of this patient. I don't know if they need multiple pairs every time. And maybe they don't, but it is incumbent on us to educate them that it's possible. There are still customers today that don't know prescription sunglasses exist. They still don't know that's possible. So if we don't tell them, they're never going to find out. The other thing is, what's the risk of offering multiple pairs to your patient? Maybe they'll spend a couple of minutes listening to that prescription sunglasses exist, or that they could have glasses specifically for golf or music glasses or computer glasses or whatever. Maybe they'll learn something about what's available to them. And then they'll say, no, I don't want to buy that right now. But to your point, if you have the lifestyle questionnaire, you make a record of it. And then you can refer to it the next time they come in, say, hey, we haven't been able to address your sun needs, or we know you work on the computer all the time and we don't have a computer pair of glasses. It gets you off on the right foot every time. So I think building a culture where we understand that one pair of glasses does not serve all functions for any of our patients, then it's incumbent on us to fit those needs when we can.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's referencing something I said before about getting out of our own way. I think we as an industry are sales preventers, right? We're purchasing preventers quite often. We have in our mind what this person's going to buy, if they're going to buy, that they might buy. And I go back to some advice I got years ago. It said a sale is always being made one way or another, right? So if that patient decides to proceed and stay and buy, then okay, sale's being made. What kind of sale? If the patient says, oh no, I just want what my insurance covers, right? Or I just want this one thing, then that's fine, right? But at the same time, I think that's where the dialogue really gets going. And if you go back to the lifestyle questionnaire, you know about the individual, you know that they're into fishing, and then they're also into classical music, and they're into needle pointing and whatever they do. Those are all the things we know we have solutions that we can enhance people's lives with. I have a very interesting story about someone I was working with who was developing software for us when we were building our Content Link digital signage platform. One of the engineers came to me one day. He's like, oh, I'm so excited, Bill. I'm like, what is it? I said, you got new glasses, right? He goes, yeah, I got new glasses. I got computer lenses, right? And at the time, this guy was about 44 years old. He had been wearing prescription eyeglasses since he was 8. And he told me that the first time he ever learned of computer lenses was when he was developing our software, right? At age 43. He's like, I had no idea it existed. I've been going to optometrists in a variety of countries, including the US, for the last 20 years. I never knew it existed. And I said, how do you like them? He said, oh my God, my life is so much better. It's changed. I'm happier. My wife says I'm friendlier. I'm sleeping better. I said, okay, question, what are these worth to you? If I took them away and I said, you got to pay me a ransom to get these things back. He said, $20,000 or $30,000.
Right. And it's such an important story, like the difference between cost and value. Right. Because there's no way it cost them anywhere near that. It probably cost them a couple of $100, but the value that they place on it. And I think your point about many folks in the industry being purchasing preventers or sales preventers, because maybe I wouldn't spend on that. Like me personally, I'm not much for designer names. I don't like, I like them, but I'm not willing to spend more because they're a designer. If they fit my giant head, I'll probably make a concession. But there are plenty of people who value that designer, who like the story that the designer says, or like where the materials are sourced or what have you. So I would never take my opinion on a product and apply it to my customers, because I don't know what they value until I ask them, until I learn about them. So it's a disservice to providing for my patients to make a decision on their behalf. My job is to inform them. My job is to educate them and let them make a decision that's right for them.
Absolutely. The very fortunate situation happened about a year into my career as a young sales rep. One of the reps I work with in Central California got sick, and I got a call from my boss and said, hey, can you go and handle this trunk show tomorrow? It's about 6 hours away in a farming community in Central California. Sure, I'll go. What do I do? They said, it's a big event. Just go there and meet people and sell glasses for the day. Okay, great. So I get there and I'm in the practice. It's at a mall there for about an hour. And then this guy comes walking in. He's probably 60, 65, big boy, overalls, dirt on his overalls, literally dirt on his boots. I think he was chewing a little tobacco, perhaps. And he was a good old boy. And he had, at the time, I'm dating myself with this one, but he had a newspaper ad and said, Neo Style, world's finest eyewear. And he said, makers of solid gold eyewear. He said, I want to know about your solid gold eyewear. And I'm looking at this guy like, man, you want to know about what? And long story short, this guy said, look, and he hands me his glasses. And there were those, you know, the old Safilo Saddle Bridge, right? You know the one I'm talking about. He hands them over. He says, and all due respect to Safilo, he said, I wear them for 3-4 months and they turn color. And I said, oh, you know what? I've got some titanium frames. He said, I want the gold frames. I said, well, I don't have the gold frames here, but we can make any frame. He said, can you make this frame? I said, yeah. So I call my boss. What's it run? It's about $1,500 cost. Okay. Us, the optical manager and the OD, what do you want to sell it for? They said, oh, let's sell it for $3,000. Okay, great. So he said, great, I'll take two. So they take 2 months to order, to make. You'll take two. He whips out $4,000 from his pocket. And he says, you want me to go get the rest of the money? So it turns out this guy had about 300,000 acres. And he was a huge, super wealthy guy, one of the wealthiest guys around, and totally a lack of pretense. And so to me, that was this life-changing moment where it's like, never x-ray someone else's wallet.
Right. Never x-ray someone's
wallet. Desire or intention, for that matter.
Yeah. I think that's such an important lesson in general. So like best practices around multiple pairs, in summary, never x-ray someone else's wallet or intentions, learn about them, build a multiple pair culture, and be wary of those folks on your team who might ruin that multiple pair culture by selling from their own pocket or being a sales preventer, as you put it.
Absolutely. And that's our opportunity. And really this idea that you don't have to be this amazing salesperson who's got the gift of gab and this amazing ability to persuade people. And just letting all that go and knowing that really it's about caring and it's about transferring enthusiasm, because that is the permeability of emotion, is something I think we take for granted. And knowing that enthusiasm is something that lights people up, and conviction is something that helps people to believe. I went to my dentist not too long ago, and the dentist has a very detailed lifestyle questionnaire. They have a very detailed written dental treatment plan with pricing. They have the option for in-house financing. So if I want to do all this stuff that's on the plan, they're breaking it down. Hey, this, we will charge you $15 million a month. Forever.
Right.
No, seriously. So I think there's a lot to learn from dentistry, right? And I think there's a tremendous amount to learn from audiology, which I'm delighted to see those audiology and optometry starting to merge a little bit more. If people have felt for so long that $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 for hearing aids is worth it, then my gosh, why does a pair of glasses need to be $150?
Excellent point. And it's true that the convergence is happening, and I think will be a benefit to eye care patients and hearing patients. Hey, thank you so much for listening to the first episode of Best Practices with Bill Gerber. Thought he shared a lot of fantastic insights about multiple pair sales and the lifestyle questionnaire. I have a question for you. What are your best practices? What have you seen work in your practice? Hit him, put that information into the comments, or send me a note on LinkedIn or Facebook, or shoot me an email at steve@anagram.care. Thanks so much.